and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and he called unto him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. It is written, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is written, and into whatsoever city or village ye shall enter, search out who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go forth. It is written, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, as ye go forth out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and in their synagogues they will scourge you. Yea, and before governors and kings shall ye be brought for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, be not anxious how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what ye shall speak. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known. Forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one, so send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message on the sending of the 12 apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 10th chapter of Matthew is one of the list of the 12 apostles. Matthew refers to the list of these apostles as these 12. It sounds like he may have been a little surprised at the choice of Jesus. These 12. Surely there were men more worthy, at least from the worldview, than these 12. Fisherman, tax collector, a zealot or fanatic, not a single theologian or rabbi in the group. He called them unto him. He called ordinary men and gave them the power to do extraordinary things. Wonder why Jesus did not go to the temple and enlist some of the chief priests as apostles. Perhaps he remembered the session he had with them in the temple as a boy of 12, and that would have been enough. These men, these 12, he called unto him. Luke tells us that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before he chose the 12. He must have prayed much over every one of the 12, including Judas Iscariot. Now, why would Jesus choose Judas as an apostle? Probably because he was the best man for the job he wanted done. Then, too, perhaps he wanted to keep Judas close to him and give him every chance to be what he could become. Many a person like Judas has had every chance to be a great influence for Christ and fouled up. Wonder why the Lord called 12, not a higher or lower number. I heard a professor one time in Baba College say this: if during your lifetime you have found 12 people that were completely dedicated to Christ, that would be about the limit. Think of the dedication of those people who would fly airplanes into the Twin Towers and blow them up, thinking they were doing the will of a God who had no son, who died on the cross for our sins and rose up from no grave. Such was the dedication of those the Lord chose to be his apostles. As Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Unless we have servants of God today with the same dedication, how can we expect to impress the world for Jesus? First note that Jesus sent the 12 into a flock of sheep. Jesus sent the 12 out two by two. Preach only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This commission was to no one else. No one was to be given the message except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus sent them out as sheep also. First, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then later, a commission that would include Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A commission that would include everybody, the whole human race. No one was to be left out. He not only sent them out, but he also gave them a message to preach. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message would be expanded in the Great Commission on a mountain in Galilee when he said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Note also, when Jesus sent out the 12, he gave them credentials. He told them to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely ye receive, freely give. These were supernatural gifts. Some today have used their natural gifts to serve humanity in the social gospel, and think that is the way to salvation. It is good to heal the sick by providing medicine and finding cures for diseases. It is good to help raise the standard of living for those in third world countries. But don't confuse that with salvation. We can feed the poor until every person in the world has the standardized American potbelly. We can pull every rotten tooth and give everybody a new set of dentures with diamond fillings. We can extend the lifespan of every person to 100 years, and people will still go to hell if they have not obeyed the gospel. He told them to raise the dead. Raising the dead in the commission today is extended to another dimension. Preach the gospel to them who are dead in trespasses and sins. And when they are buried with him in baptism, they are raised up to seek the things that are above and not the things that are up on the earth. Note, too, that when he sent them forth, he told them to search out in every village those that were worthy. He knew that regardless of what village they went, there would be somebody who would respond to the gospel, somebody who was worthy. It is true now. In whatever community you go, there are some people who will obey the truth, someone who is worthy. We cannot expect that everyone who hears the gospel will respond to the Bible terms of pardon. But there is somebody on your street, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, among your associates, who will respond to the demands of the gospel. If they be worthy, let your peace come upon that house. And if not, let your peace return to you. Now what is the peace you get from the apostles and those who bring the word of God? It is the peace of a person who knows the peace of forgiveness, the peace of the promise of heaven, the peace that passeth all understanding, And if they don't want the peace that can come only through obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, leave them and go someplace else. I know of one preacher one time who tried for years to persuade one man to obey the Lord. After he was convinced he would never respond, he told him, "I have spent enough time on you. I will never bother you again. I'm going to leave you and let you go to hell." If they will not receive the message, then go someplace else. One more item in this sending was that Jesus said about those who rejected the message of the apostles. He said if they would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Sodom and Gomorrah were famous for sodomy. And yet Jesus indicates that a worse sin is to reject the message of the apostles. We may think of abortion as the murder of most helpless people of all. A worse sin than abortion is the rejection of the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Rejection of Christ is a far worse sin than drug traffic. This gives us some idea of how Jesus expects us to regard the word of his apostles, both in doctrine and in manner of life. He sent them into a flock of sheep. First he sent them into a flock of sheep. Next he sends them into a pack of wolves. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Jesus sent them out into a flock of sheep. Then he sent them out as sheep into a pack of wolves. What a jolt that must have been. What a way to go. It seems to me that at least Peter would have spoken up and said, "Lord, if you're going to send me out into a pack of wolves, let me go as a tiger or a lion." A lion. "Oh, Lord, send me out that way, or send me out as a hippopotamus. If the wolves attack me, that way I can roll over on one and squash him." However, it is the message that must be preached. "What I tell you in the darkness, speak ye in the light. What ye hear in the ear, proclaim on the housetops." Ladies and gentlemen, this message comes to you today from a housetop more high than the apostles ever dreamed. The disconcerting thing about it is that the Lord did not say the wolves would not bite, rip, or tear. The only protection he gave them was that they were to go, being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now a snake, generally speaking, will not try to bother you if you don't bother him. The preacher who is wise as a serpent must not needlessly offend, because the word of God itself will be offensive enough in its own way. The preaching of the gospel itself is enough to offend many. When John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one they were looking for, the Lord gave him a list of blessings that those who heard would receive. He said the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised up, the poor have good tidings preached to them, and then he added to that list this. He said, "Blessed are they who find no occasion of stumbling in me." The teaching of the apostles is just as offensive today as it was then. Paul later said to the Galatians, "Am I become your enemy because I told you the truth?" Thousands find Paul offensive when he said in Romans, the first chapter, "For this cause God gave them up to vile passions, for their women changed the natural use to that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one to another, men working with men unseemliness, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due." It is offensive today also to remind people that Paul told Timothy, "But the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and to abstain from meats. It is the doctrine of demons to command men to abstain from marriage. The demonic influence is seen in the multiplied cases of the sexually abused. To remind people of what Paul, an inspired apostle, said, is very offensive. It is offensive to remind many of the words of Jeremiah when he quoted the words of Almighty God, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Jeremiah was a person before his parts took form in his mother's belly. It is offensive to remind people that they are guilty of murder when they perform an abortion. Suppose the apostles had asked the Lord why he insisted on sending them forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Suppose they had said, "Lord, what right do you have to do that?" If they had asked that question, the Lord could have said, "I have the right because I myself came into the world as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That is why he told them that a servant is not above his Lord, nor a disciple above his teacher. The Christian is not better than his Lord. But the Lord tells us, don't hang around when they reject you in one city. Flee into the next. Verily, you have not gone through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. In other words, don't waste your time working with those who won't receive you. You owe it to yourself and the Lord to go someplace else. If I knew for sure that the Lord would not return for another 1,000 years, and if I could be sure I could live for 1,000 years and work 12 hours every day, I would not be able to finish my ministry before the Lord comes. Like Jesus told them, you shall not have gone through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. There is plenty of work for us to do. If they won't listen where you are, go someplace else. However, do not despair. Although he sends us forth as a flock of sheep and sends us into a pack of wolves, he also sends us forth with a sword. He said, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Everywhere we turn in the Word of God, we are constantly reminded that the church is not a playground. It is a battleground. The sword is shown in the first chapter of Revelation when Jesus is described with a sword sticking out of his mouth. In the book of Hebrews, we learn that the sword of the Spirit is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jesus came to send the sword. That sword will separate you from drugs. That sword will separate you from booze. That sword will separate, sometimes, family members. Jesus said allegiance to him could separate father and son. He could separate daughter-in-law from mother-in-law. That a man's foes shall be those of his own household. There are many who cannot bear this separation and forget that Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." When Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he used a sword on Malchus. He drew a sword and cut off his ear. In all probability, Peter was aiming for his head. He may have been trying to cleave him in half, but his aim was bad, and he merely sliced off the ear of Malchus. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, he arose that day like Jesus with the sword of the Spirit in his mouth. This time he was definitely aiming at the ears of the audience. He said, "Be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words." He was definitely aiming at their ears. His aim, however, was not all that good. Look at what happened. He said, "Give ear unto my words." He preached the story of the cross. He told how Jesus died for our sins. He told how he was buried. He told how he arose from the dead, and then told that he had ascended to heaven, and that they had seen him, and that they had seen him at baptism of the Holy Spirit of the apostles was what was happening that day. It was then that it happened. That big gospel knife slipped. And instead of the ears of the people, Peter also pierced their hearts. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter had the answer and used the sword of the Holy Spirit. He remembered that Jesus had said to preach to the sheep. He remembered that Jesus told him to feed my sheep. So what he said was in such simple terms that anyone of average intelligence could understand what he said. He told them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now regarding the sending of this sword, Jesus further said that he came to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said, A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Without any doubt, the best reply to those who insist on having the religion of their parents before the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of Jesus himself. I want to repeat this again to you. Jesus said, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth daughter or son more than me is not worthy of me, and he that doth not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Think of it. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. He sent them into a flock of sheep. He sent them into a pack of wolves. He sent them with a sword. Now, in conclusion, there is one last thought about the sending of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. In other words, when you do something to help a prophet advance the kingdom of God, you will get the same reward as that prophet. When you help a righteous man carry on the kingdom of God, you will receive the same reward as that righteous man. So you see, he sent them into a flock of sheep. He sent them into a pack of wolves, and he sent them with a sword. If you are one who has been sent, go, and the Lord be with you. The Son of God goes forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. His blood-red banner streams afar. Who follows in his train? Who best can drink his cup of woe, triumphant over pain? Who patient bears his cross below? He follows in his train. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.